New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Quit turning my father's house into a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. They believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of our Lord. Most Bible translations title our gospel reading this morning as the cleansing of the temple. And earlier this week, I ran across a cute little story that is about cleaning that is rather applicable to our gospel reading, so I thought I would share it with you. And it starts out with a woman saying, "Speaking of cleaning, I am not at all pleased with the performance of the woman whose job it is to clean my house. She doesn't show up every day, and when she does, she oftentimes has an excuse. I'm too tired, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it this weekend. Sometimes she neglects to sweep the kitchen floor before she mops it. I caught her smearing coffee grounds around the tile with a mop the other day. I caught her spraying lemon pledge in the air like air freshener to give the impression that she had just dusted. I discovered her sweeping the carpeted stairs with a broom to make lines that looked like she had just vacuumed them. I don't quite know how to handle this personnel problem. How can I let her go when she is me?" Many of us can sympathize with this woman. For the most part, we do not enjoy cleaning. We come up with all kinds of justifications as to why the laundry and the vacuuming and the dishes can wait till another day. Typically, we don't wake up on a Saturday morning and jump out of bed with a burning desire to clean our home from top to bottom. And some people despise cleaning so much that they hire someone to come in and do it for them. But regardless, if you hire somebody to come in and do the cleaning, and no matter how much you hate cleaning, everyone loves a clean home. It is always so nice, once all the work has been done, to sit back on the couch and look at your sparkling, clean home. To look around and not see dust bunnies on the table anymore, and to see the lines in the carpet where you just vacuumed, and to smell the fresh aromas of the clean house. On this third Sunday of our Lenten journey, our gospel reading prompts us to do a little bit of cleaning ourselves, whether we enjoy cleaning or not. Our passage prompts us to cleanse our lives from sacrilegious or unholy behaviors. It's a passage that prompts us to cleanse our hearts and to reestablish right motives and pure intentions. This morning, our passage began with an angry Jesus rolling into Jerusalem during Passover, which is the busiest time of the year. Passover was celebrated annually during the springtime, usually in March or April. And Passover attendance was required, so every male was required to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem during Passover at least once. So hundreds and hundreds of people were gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover festival. So imagine chaos in the city and vendors all over the place, the city square completely jammed with people. And here enters Jesus, completely irate and fed up with the sacrilegious behaviors of those who were gathering in Jerusalem. Those behaviors that appeared to be reverent from the outside, but in all actuality were far from it. Upon entering the temple, Jesus discovered just how deceptive appearances truly can be. While the temple appeared to fulfill its function, closer inspection revealed that the people had long forgotten its purpose. The people gathered in the market square and those heading into the temple were not doing so because of right motives and pure intentions to worship God. They were more so entering the temple out of religious obligation and adherence to the law. The common assumption about this passage is that Jesus was cleansing the temple of commercial abuse as he overturned the tables and shooed off the money changers and the animals. But the animals and the money changers had a right to be there. The animals were there because of the Torah's requirement of a sacrifice. And the money changers were there so they could change the pilgrims' money into coinage, and that the temple could use that for sacrifices, and also as payment for the half-shekel tax that was levied on all Jews. In John's gospel, Jesus is not cleansing the temple from commercial abuse by the vendors and the money changers. He is there to cleanse the hearts of those who had made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to cleanse their hearts from misplaced motives and impure intentions. Jesus says to the temple vendors and to all those who are gathered at the market square to quit making a mockery of his Father's house, to quit turning it into this marketplace. In so many words, Jesus is saying to them and us, beware of becoming so caught up in perpetuating what is ancillary, derivative, and secondary that you lose sight of what is primary, essential, and foremost. Jesus is saying, make sure that in your heart you possess right intentions and pure motives. Richard Rohr, who is a Franciscan monk and a deeply insightful writer, draws attention to the unique contribution of Jesus, which Rohr calls an interiorizing religion or an interior faith. Rohr points out that the large parts of the teaching of Jesus, such as those that are recorded in the Sermon on the Mount, are about this interior priority. The commandments, which we heard John Daly delineate for us this morning, are observed by inner integrity, not just mere observance or compliance to a rule. That is why the entire law can be encapsulated in the injunction to love God and neighbor. It's because those observances, those religious observances, originate in the interior. They originate in our hearts. Jesus showed up that day in Jerusalem to challenge mere external compliance or mere external ritualism, where there was no inner motivations or pure intentions of the heart. That is why we see tables overturned, money changers chased off. The people that were gathered there were not allowed to continue on with their sacrilegious behaviors. For Jesus, the heart is the Holy of Holies, not the temple or the ritualistic offerings. The heart is the core of a person's faith, where all the actions and the words and the thoughts flow. So when you lose sight of what is primary, essential, and foremost, when the love of God and neighbor is no longer the outpouring of your heart, then it is time to turn some tables and do some cleaning. As we continue on our Lenten journey, we are to utilize this time to cleanse our hearts from those things that are ancillary, derivative, and secondary, so that we can focus on what is primary, essential, and foremost. As I mentioned before, none of us really enjoy cleaning. We come up with all sorts of excuses as to why we can put it off till tomorrow. So while we may do a quick scan of our lives and our interior and say that there is nothing that needs to be cleaned, nothing that needs to be changed, then I encourage you to look again and take a deeper look. Utilize this time of Lent to truly identify which behaviors have become sacrilegious. Take the time to identify those things that have taken priority in your life that are not essential to your faith. And take the time to reestablish right motives and pure intentions that are grounded in the love of God and neighbor. In just the same way that this passage begs us to take a deep look within and cleanse our individual and personal hearts, it also begs us to take a look at our collective hearts that comprise our church, to think about cleansing our collective hearts as the body of Christ. Earlier this week, I came across some photos on Facebook, which were from a friend of mine who is the pastor of a church in Buffalo. And the pictures were before and after photos. The pastor had rallied together the parishioners for a thorough cleaning of the sanctuary. So they had come in and they had removed all the pews from the sanctuary, and they had waxed the floors and they had dusted the light fixtures and the doorways. Everything was sparkling by the time they were done. And I'm sure when they were finished, those individuals sat back on the pews and they surveyed their hard work and what they had accomplished. They soaked in the fresh aromas and how sparkling that sanctuary was. A good cleaning is sometimes necessary. Inevitably, things build up over time, and the church is no exception to that reality. At times, the church needs to be cleaned, both literally and figuratively. On this third Sunday of Lent, in light of our passage reading, we are to reflect on cleaning our collective hearts that comprise our church. We are to remind ourselves of the primary purpose and function of the church, and ensure there are right motives and pure intentions that are grounded in the love of God and neighbor. There is a short quote that I ran across some time ago, and it was written by an American writer. Her name is Alice Walker. She actually wrote the novel The Color Purple. And she wrote, "Any God I've ever felt in church, I brought in with me. And I think all the other folks did too. They come here to share God with one another." Folks, we come here to experience God and to share God with one another. The church's fundamental passion is its abiding love of God and the things of God. And that is why Jesus created that uproar in Jerusalem during the busiest time of the year. He intentionally chose that time of the year when the city was jammed with people to make that bold and legitimate statement. On this third Sunday of Lent, we are prompted to evaluate our personal lives as well as our lives here together as the body of Christ, to reestablish right motives and pure intentions. It's a prompting for all of us to cleanse our hearts both individually and collectively. We do well to recall the words of King David in Psalm 51 for the remaining days of Lent. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean," says David. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.